the fifth chapter, our text beginning at verse 11. We read the Word of God. About this, and that is, of course, Melchizedek, as he referred to it in verse 10, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. This is the word of the living God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Beloved in the Lord, when you are driving along on summer days, late summer, when you see landscapers or neighbors out in their yard, how many of you have seen neighbors wearing hearing protection on their ears while they're riding their loud, noisy lawnmowers? Have you noticed that? I've seen that a couple of times. And it brings to mind the great problem of hearing loss. I'm very acutely aware of hearing loss with parents who suffer from it, particularly my father. And, hearing loss comes to us sometimes through our own misfortunes, sometimes through nothing that we have within our control. I can readily assume, it's not a scientific deduction, but it's a pretty good one, I think, that my father's hearing loss is the result of the fact that he sat in the Navigator Bombardier seat in a B-17, very near those Rolls-Royce engines of a B-17 roaring over the channel in England into Germany and back on the missions that he flew during World War II. I don't think that during World War II there was much concern for hearing loss for those who served in those B-17 bombers or in any other places in the artillery where great loud explosions occurred because they were more concerned about what the enemy was throwing at them and avoiding the enemy than they were about their hearing. But it's been something that I've been acutely aware of. The writer of Hebrews is going to sharply turn the corner, as it were, from his discussion that we have considered. He's been telling us about the glory of Christ. He's been telling us about our great high priest. He's been telling us about all of these great doctrinal, theological truths. And when he comes to verse 10 of chapter 5, which was what we left off with, having looked at the glory of Christ as the one who is lifted up as our high priest, he turns with a sharp and appointed application to his listening audience, to us as well, with a rebuke for those who are, as he calls it in our text, verse 11, dull of hearing. I want to look at this passage with you this morning and talk about spiritual hearing loss. There's a danger that he highlights, and he is sharp and pointed about his remarks. He addresses his hearers because as he unfolds this rebuke, this warning, he goes on with it through chapter 6, and we'll consider another part of this warning, the Lord willing, as we continue our study. He says that something has gone drastically wrong in the learning process. That's what he's discussing in these verses that are before us. He says something has gone drastically wrong in the learning process. You should have been able to accept the teaching of what he had just mentioned, the Melchizedek figure of the Old Testament. He should have been able, by referring to Melchizedek, to have gone on and to have taught them about what that meant in relationship to Jesus Christ and how that would be such a blessing to them. But he's caught, as it were, abruptly by the fact that they had a spiritual hearing loss. that they were immature. And he says, well, you wouldn't understand it because you're dull of hearing. You should be teachers by this time, but you, though you had been Christians for a long time, he implies, have gone from the meat that you should have been eating back to the milk like a baby. You don't like being called a baby, do you? That's what his hearers were called, a baby. You know, it's not a very nice thing for him to say, but he says it because he's serious about the problem of their spiritual maturity. And he goes on and he says, you should be able to live on the meat and have the skills that come from discernment trained, as verse 14 says, by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Those are the things we'll look at in this passage as he gives this warning to those who are dealing with a grave problem, a problem of spiritual hearing, a problem of spiritual immaturity. Now, there are many who have the problem of spiritual immaturity even today that the writer of Hebrews talks, and perhaps we might not want to suggest that it's our problem, but we should use this passage to examine our hearts as we will look at it later. But there is a massive tragedy that few are aware, even today, of the things that concern themselves in this spiritual problem that exists. They have been arrested in their spiritual growth. Some have been locked into a perpetual infancy, not growing in their faith and in the Word of God. The Apostle Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the positive admonition to the negative warning that's here, and it's the corrective to it. There are many who, like the readers of this epistle, have rejected doctrine. Some today would be dull of hearing because of pure laziness, not getting around to wanting to study, thinking, oh, it's too hard to read and to study the Bible. That's, of course, for the pastor. You know, he went to school. He trained for these kinds of things. And when we go and we listen, and boy, that's about all the energy we can possibly muster up and put together and get into it. There are some like that. There are some who have lost their appetite for Christian truth. Unfortunately, there are some who lose their appetite for Christian truth when it's a corrective. You know, when we were little, thankfully I don't think I ever had it, but when we were little and we had stomach aches and you know where I'm going with this, don't you? The medicine would come and they would give you that yicky tasting awful stuff. And they would say, it's good for you. And you'd taste it and you'd go, bah! It's not good for me. It tastes wretched. And you got rid of it. Some people look at some of the things that they read in Scripture that way. You know, it is good for you. There's nothing in Scripture that is not good for you. God wouldn't have given it to you if it weren't good for you. And there are some things that are hard to hear. There are some things that are hard to swallow. There are some things in Scripture that are hard for us to accept that may be true of me. And so some have lost their appetite for that and say, I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear a pastor who, as the old school used to say, steps on my toes. I don't want to hear a message where some implication may suggest that might be true of me, that I must have self-examination, that I, who have been a good Christian after all in all of these years, have gone to the church morning and evening, not like those other people who don't, and I have given regularly to both church and to the Christian school, and I have, you know, and it goes on, because that person is focused on himself instead of what does God say. And their appetite is dulled for the truth of Scripture because there are certain things they don't want to hear. To those, the writer of Hebrews gives a solemn warning and a heavenly encouragement. A solemn warning. This is a danger zone that we should be aware of, but an encouragement that there's a corrective and that it can help, because many of his listeners, many even today, have become dull of hearing. What does that word mean when it says dull of hearing? Well, not interested in doctrine and learning truth and reading scripture or in dealing with scripture, content with a simple, well, I trust in Jesus, made a profession of faith, became a member of the church, I go regularly, that's good enough for me. We're going to let the doctrine and the teaching of the church be for those who want to wrestle with it. Doctrine is burdensome. May I remind you what Paul writes in Ephesians 4:14, that he's been, as he labored in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, to tell us about the giving of those who are apostles, prophets, teachers, and so on. He says he gave them so that they may raise up and bless the church, and the church may come to a unity in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he says, so that we might no longer be children, verse 14. And as he goes on from that, you know, what does it mean to be like a child spiritually? He says, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried by every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. Every false doctrine, false teaching, comes like a wind into the church or against the church. And Paul says children are susceptible to that, like a boat on the sea that has no rudder. It's just blown from wave to wave and place to place. And he says, don't be childish. Don't be childlike. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Don't be like that. That condition should be deplored, and they should have been in the place where they should have been able to help others. Notice he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. They should have come to the point in their Christian life and experience, by this time, they should have been teaching Sunday school to the younger ones. They should have been leading Bible classes. They should have been teachers who impart something to someone else. Not that that means you all must teach a class, but teaching by means of applying the Word of God. How are you going to encourage someone in the Word of God unless you know the Word of God? How are you going to apply to their needs as they come alongside of you and they're placed in your path if you don't have a grasp and an understanding of that truth? That's what he's saying. You should be able to be a teacher that is helping that brother or that sister in Christ, that newborn Christian, helping them with what they're going through, because you've gone through it, but you have become mature based on your study and your understanding and your application of the Word of God into your heart and into your life. But instead of being useful, they were useless. Needing to be grounded, verse 12 says, once again in the ABCs of the truth of God. It's a sad thing when someone needs to go back and relearn something. Many people have had that experience when they've gone through great physical trauma. Some have had to relearn how to walk. Some have had to relearn how to use the basic motor skills. We see that, and we empathize with them, and we encourage them, and we support them. Do you empathize, encourage, and support Christians who need to learn the truth? That's what these believers should have been doing. They weren't. And they were so far from doing it, he says, they were unable anymore to, as it were, chew their own food. It was a stunted babyhood that they were locked in. And he says, you need milk, not solid food. It's like really saying, you've become a baby again. Now, that's not a very nice thing to hear, not a nice thing perhaps to say, but stunted babyhood is the very profound image that our writer of the Hebrews wants to give to his readers, because he wants to stir them up to grow up and get out of that babyhood. He wants to stir them up to get that lazy mind to once again go to that Word of God and internalize the truth and maintain the truth, which they had not done. And that's the principle at work among those lazy minds in that Hebrew-speaking church. They had heard, but they didn't internalize. They had not maintained. And when you don't internalize the Word of God, and when you don't maintain that truth in your life, it becomes lost to the hearer. It's hard to hear that they were dull of hearing. But that is descriptive of what many are dealing with. Many are slothful, to use another term one old writer put it. He said, you are ready enough to hear and maybe just go to church, but like Ezekiel's hearers, pleased with the sound of the gospel as much as you would be with some delightful music, but you don't apply it. Do you apply what you hear from the Word of God to your heart? Do you labor to treasure it up in your heart? Do you pray over what you read and what you understand from Scripture? Do you make it the object of your conversation and your family and your home and your meditation? What is it that in the hours of the quiet moments of your life you think about? Is it the things of God? Have you taken, in the language of the farmer, the harrow, to put the seed deep in the ground so that it's planted properly so that the birds of the air won't come and snatch it away, like Jesus talks about in the parable, or when he talks about through the cares and the pleasures of this world, it's so choked that it never grows to perfection. The seed needs to be sown in a ground that's ready to receive and to nurture that word, and that's a picture of what our hearts ought to be. And the reason that there's slow progress is because people do not take the Bible seriously. And because they don't take them seriously, the truths of Scripture become increasingly less important to them, and they become, what the writer of Hebrews says, dull of hearing. This is a grave spiritual problem that he is addressing in his audience, in his day, as well as in ours. It was in the midst of this presentation that he has been going on from the first chapter now to the fifth chapter and giving us about the glorious view of the Lord Jesus Christ, his sufferings, his exaltation to be the great high priest of his people, quoting the 110th Psalm as he did so many times. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and those solemn words that are addressed by the Father to the Son with a profound sense of the riches of the glory of our salvation. And he wants to go on from that to apply it to their hearts, and he's brought short, and he says, oh, you don't understand because you're dull of hearing. He wants to unfold this mystery to the Hebrews that he's writing to, the glory of that majesty, because this was the truth that they urgently needed, but they weren't able to receive it. They weren't able to hear it. They weren't able. Why weren't they able? The reason is the cause of their spiritual maturity. We see that in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. They had receded, as we said before, into a stunted babyhood. It's ignorance that he's addressing in this passage. An ignorance that has led this people to whom he is writing to become ineffective. They've turned their backs on strenuous study. They've turned their hearts against a diligent application of spiritual teaching, and in doing so, they remain like infants when they should have been adults in their spiritual progress, pupils when they should have become instructors and teachers. And that spiritual immaturity caused by ineffectiveness is a dreadful thing, just as hearing loss is a dreadful thing for those who suffer from it. Spiritual hearing loss is a dreadful thing. Now, the problem with hearing loss that we experience, such as my parents and many perhaps of you, and you know, you can go to the hearing aid doctors and so on, they give you that little hearing aid thing, but those things don't quite do the job. They don't restore hearing. They aid hearing, sometimes not too well. And some of you probably know that from your own experience. There's not a cure for hearing loss as we know it yet in the physical realm, but the cure for spiritual hearing loss is in this passage. Verses 13 and 14, he moves to the cure when he says, everyone who lives on milk unskilled. He's a child. But, see that word but? You know what it means, don't you? Pay attention. And from everything after that word but is going to be a answer to the problem he's just described. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. He knows, the writer knows, that spiritual ignorance results in carelessness, that carelessness that becomes childish and infantile. The people who did not master the ABCs of their Christian life could hardly hope to enrich the lives of others. Their own faith was too insecure to enable them to communicate confidence and assurance to other people. They couldn't teach others. They couldn't communicate the truth to others. And even in their own lives, they couldn't find or receive that assurance they needed themselves of their own spiritual needs because of their stunted spiritual growth. But the writer says the cure for that is this: have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice in distinguishing good from evil. That is receiving and studying and chewing, eating, assimilating the Word of God. The need was for solid food. The need was to get off of that liquid diet and onto a diet that will give you strength and hope and blessing. The proper biblical diet for spiritual growth and stability is that which is in this verse, the teaching and the doctrines of Scripture that are contained in the Word of God. And having your powers discerned and trained by that discernment, in other words, you begin to see how the Bible is applied. You begin to apply the Bible and see how it fits. And you begin to see that as a regular practice. And then by constant practice, which, you know, practice is something we don't like to do. I'll admit I'm one who starts a gym membership, but never goes to the gym. You start on an exercise program and I'm going to walk couple of miles today because I need to get into fit, become more fit. So I get up from the chair and I walk to the coffee pot and I sit down and I say, tomorrow I'll do that. And when we were even younger, we had those other physical programs. And how many of you know or have family members that have bought weight machines, weightlifting outfits, and they put them together and they have a place for them in the basement or in the garage, and they're going to become bodybuilders. I have a brand new several thousand dollar weight machine in the barn that was bought by a United States Marine. I think it was used once and put in storage. That's not what the writer says here when he means constant practice. You don't get to play the piano unless you practice. You don't get to become mature spiritually. You don't get to grow out of being infantile. You don't get to grow to that point where the truth and the doctrine of the Word of God becomes a joy to your heart and strength in trial, blessing in the midst of opposition, until you come to the point by constant practice you begin to distinguish good from evil. That is, what God says is right and what God says is wrong. And that is spiritual maturity. That is the maturity which is the cure for this dullness of hearing. And we ought not to then look at this warning as we've begun to look at it. It continues, as I said, through and into the sixth chapter. We'll look at that some other time as he goes on from this point. But at this point, let's not do what is so commonly done. Let's not pass judgment on the writer's readers, those to whom he wrote. Oh, what a terrible bunch of people they were. You know, like we sometimes do with the Israelites. How could they be so dull of hearing? They had it all. They had Moses. They saw the Red Sea open before them. Man, if I was there, you know what I would have done? I would have done the same thing. If you were there, you would have done the same thing too. If I was there, I would be one of the first in the line to grumble and complain that there was no food in the wilderness. I would have been one of the first in line to grumble and complain about the leadership of Moses and Aaron, because I have that sinful heart, wicked, evil by nature. My heart hates everything that has to do with God. But praise God, by grace, he came and changed that heart. And he made it new so that now I don't have to look at Israel and say what a bunch of foolish people they were, to the writer as he speaks to this group we call the Hebrews, and say, how could they be so stupid as to not grow in their faith? I have to take this word and this warning, and you have to take this word and you have to take this warning, and you have to look right inside your own heart, as I must do as well, and ask, are you listening to God's word? Am I hearing God speak to me through his word? Am I acquainted with this thing that he calls the teaching of righteousness, which I should have grasped? I should understand. I should know, because this teaching of righteousness is that teaching through which we learn of salvation and the glory of the Messiah and the Savior of sinners. And the real question is, am I constantly practicing the study of Scripture to distinguish good and evil by applying God's word to my life? That's the takeaway application that you and I, each of us, must have from this warning, this passage today. Not to say, oh, ouch, boy, he had some harsh things to say to us, even though it's the writer of Hebrews that's saying it. But no, it's God who's saying it through the writer of Hebrews, through his servant today, to each of us. Are we applying, learning, searching, reading God's word with diligence and growing in our faith? Or have we become dull of hearing? Beloved in the Lord, if you've become dull of hearing, hear God's word. Remember in the book of the Revelation, blessed are those who hear what the Lord is speaking to the church. Hear the word of God. Ask for that hearing that will enable you to receive its truth, that will hear it clearly without a hearing aid, but the clear teaching and the clear ministry of the word of God to your heart, that you may be equipped, that you may be ready to help others, that you may know the truth of its word, so that you may apply and understand that righteous teaching that is contained in it, that you may be trained to discern evil from good, that you, by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the word of God, may grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our glorious Savior. Pray for that. Apply that to yourself. Receive that through God's word today. Amen.